Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And my name is Adeline.
We're joined
Chung.
In the studio. Sorry.
You cut me off, Richard.
My name is Rich Bradbury.
Good evening, and I'm Adeline Chung.
And we are joined in the studio by
Alfred Lowe. Woo-hoo.
Alfred Lowe. Hello. Welcome to the show.
I can't believe you cut me off, Richard.
Well, it happens, right? Every now and again. I feel like a Malaysian driver. Anyway, moving swiftly along, Alfred. So, right, I'm looking at this kind of profile. From what I understand, you sent a rather large profile through originally. And then our intern went, there's a lot of stuff there.
Yes.
So, actor, screen actor, comedian, MC. Are you going to make up your mind what you want to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's my form of rebelling against the societal structure that came out and said I should have a full-time job.
You should
somewhat.
Be this. You should be that.
I'll be everything.
Right.
I'll be Thanos.
But I think that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I mean, my family was the same thing. You know, you've got to do this. You've got to get a job. No, it just doesn't work for me.
But which do you prefer most?
I focus. I think if I were to be given a choice to do one thing that I would love to do and get paid for the rest of my life, it would be acting for screen.
For screen?
Mm. Yeah.
What makes that so special compared to stage?
The philosophical pursuit of creating something that will last the test of time.
Okay.
Somewhat.
I can see that. Yeah.
Somewhat. But I think, there's just something about screen acting that really does it for me. That French thing of the camera being able to do all the work and you just sit there and sip your cup of tea and stare wistfully off into the distance.
And you can kind of learn your lines 5 minutes before being filmed.
Yes, kind right. of. No, bad. Bad practice.
Does that appeal to you, though?
It does. There's just something very magical about it, whether it's childhood association or, but like, it's the cinema. It's the cinema.
So, I mean, the first time you kind of saw yourself up on the what we'll call it, the
oh,
silver
dear
screen.
God, no.
Yeah. What was that like?
No, it was horrendous. It still is horrendous. I think, ask any actor and 95% of them will tell you the same thing. Mm. Like, it's horribly insecure to watch yourself in your work unless you're working with a team and the whole experience is so nurturing and so empowering and so nourishing that you're just like, oh yes, good times, yes,
right.
We did good work kind of thing. But that's rare.
Okay.
Kind of. Yeah.
Well, I want to speak to you a little bit later on about, you know, the kind of stuff that the training that you've done with Joe Hashem, for instance. that was a few years ago from what I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Quite a few years ago.
But I've got massive respect for Joe, and I think, you know, you can talk to us a little bit about maybe his kind of techniques and what he helped you out with a little bit. And then, of course, want to move on to stuff like Captain Bolle and stuff like that. You know, have a chat about that. Yeah? Sound good?
Twilight Zone passed.
We're going to be digging it all up. Is going to be dug up. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we do have a giveaway this evening. And if you want to take part, all you have to do is remember this number, 016-201-9000. We'll ask you a question, you give us an answer, and you tell us why you want to win. And if you are successful, you'll be hearing from us at the end of the show.
That's right. If you have any questions for us, you can actually tweet us at BFM Radio or BFM TTON.
All right, time for a very short break. We'll be back after these messages, digging into the brain of Alfred Lowe. Please do not go anywhere. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, the business station. It is That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with Adeline Chung.
Thank you for addressing me.
There you go.
And hello, guys.
We are sat opposite to Alfred Lowe. He's going to be with us all the way through until 9 p.m.
I'm next to him.
Adeline is sat right next to him. Yeah, keep yourself cozy. Keep cozy. Right, a quick reminder, 016-201-9000. That is a number for the giveaway. You'll hear more about that a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Smarty Pants coming up very shortly. Alfred, are you confident? Are you a competitive man?
I am.
Yeah?
Unfortunately, I am.
Are we going to predict what kind of score we're going to get out of 30? Do we want to try that?
I have a trick, though. I figure if halfway through the quiz, I start doing badly, I'm going to flunk everything by giving the Calvin and Hobbes answer, which is, I refuse to answer this question as it goes against my religious principles.
Yeah. If you say that again, I could probably record it so we could just use it on the hotkey.
Exactly.
That
yes.
could be quite interesting. Yes. Maybe we'll do that a little bit later.
But are there like any other guest on our show that you've heard before that you want to beat the score?
Oh, I want to beat Janet.
Okay.
Because Janet... Because Janet is such an amazing human being, and she has, well, I don't think she has an encyclopedic memory, but I know she's got a lot up there in that noggin. Yeah. So
she is very competitive.
Janet.
She did very well as well. Actually.
She did very well.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Alfred. So we at the top of the show we addressed that you've done a bunch of stuff, and we talked about really liking screen acting. Mm. So tell us a little bit about the training before you started performing as such.
Training. Oh my God. I'm totally unqualified to answer that question because I'm not formally trained.
Right.
I think I just I've been very fortunate to have been constantly hired for stuff since I started acting, and so just learning and devouring whatever I can get.
Yeah. So I mean, you did a little bit of work with Joe Hashem a few years ago.
I think it was one of the first few things. I think a good year or two into I really can't remember. I started acting in like 2008, and of course, once I figured out, oh my God, this is what I love doing, the natural step was to just go for as many avenues and opportunities to learn as much as possible. And Joe was doing his acting class, and that's where I signed up. So at that time, it was like one of the really good formative experiences in my career, my learning, I guess. Yeah.
And do you think that you gained a lot from it as well, from his training?
I think what I have been blessed with that's really just helped me in good stead is a desire for education.
Right.
Sometimes that in itself can be a hindrance, but I think that in itself has colored my experiences that every single production that I've done or everything that I've done, there's always a nugget that's worth it for me, aside from fame. fame?
So a fascination with knowledge almost.
Yeah. Or just the ability to learn something or to try something in a different style or fashion that enables you to experience something new. And that's just colored it.
Well, you see, you answered my question at the top of the show then. I mean, I asked you about your stage acting, your screen acting, your comedian, your emceeing. And it's not... somebody who's coming across as indecisive and doesn't know what they want to do with their career. It's coming across as somebody who's genuinely interested.
Or wants to be a know-it-all.
to be a know-it-all. But I completely get that. I understand that. I mean, when I was growing up, what my parents did is they bought me a full set of Encyclopedia Britannica, for example. And I was one of those kids that would just sit there and just flick through randomly. And I'm like, oh, that's the Mary Rose.
I pity kids because kids don't get to do that these days.
I know.
You'll never finish reading Wikipedia.
No, never. Apparently, you can get a printed version though, which is something like 9,000 pages, which I'm keen to kind of get my hands on. You get it literally printed off and bound. But the problem with that is obviously it's updated on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's one creative way to deforest.
Yes,
the world.
Absolutely. So I mean, tell us some about your most kind of notable performances that you've thoroughly stuck your teeth in and got really you really enjoy.
Well, there've been a few, and I think. Well, for better or worse, they've all been mostly theatrical performances. I think because there's a saying that the theater is the actor's medium, because on stage, once the show is going on, it's the actor who's fully in control.
Yeah.
Everyone else supports that. Very early in my career, I did a show called Oh Dad Poor Dad, directed by Kelvin Wong, whom I'm doing Antigone with, plug. And that was literally me being thrown in the deep end because I did two major roles in an hour and a half long play, and it was an absurdist play. So it was the first time doing an absurdist play. It was the first time tackling two major roles in the same play, doing a quick change. I had long hair back then, so I had to put on a wig, take off the wig, put on a wig again in the span of like... at the start of the show and then again in the span of like a minute and tackling like pages and mounds worth of lines. Mm-hmm. So I don't look back and say, oh, that was the best thing I've done, but it was definitely like one of the deepest deep ends I was ever thrown off.
Right.
Yeah. But after that, like there's just been quite a lot of experiences. I think last year I did a show called Another Country with Five Art Center, working with Wild Rice in Singapore, and just everything about that project was just like a honeymoon of torture in a sense, because it was the first time I did 6 days a week of rehearsal, 8 hours a day, and you're on your feet, like, because Joe K loves to have actors on their feet, which is a great thing.
She likes to move them around.
But it was like just completely exhausting, but so fulfilling at the same time.
Yeah. So you've worked with Joe a few times, have you?
I've worked with Joe. No, that was the first time I was in the Le Joux workshop with Philippe Gollier, and she was in there as well. And I guess you could say that's kind of like working together. Mm. But in terms of actually working with her on a show, I think Another Country was the first. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, so what kind of preparation do you work when you do you do when you're going in for a role? Do you look at how other people have portrayed
look
these,
world upon my flaws in despair? I am the laziest actor. Well, no, I'm not the laziest actor. I think most actors would.
What, 5 minutes beforehand?
I mean, it's true, shows like that, and especially in Another Country, Joe really dealt me a very tough love lesson on preparation, which I'm eternally indebted to her for. And also the experience of working with the Singaporean actors and the other actors as well, you see the depth and the amount of preparation that they do. When you talk about actors who literally like live their lines, live, eat, breathe, and rehearse in their heads all day, that's what they do, and the results pay off. And when you see your compatriots doing that, your laziness has to die because you need to put in that amount of effort just to match that same level. Otherwise, the show will die, and that can't happen.
Right. Yeah. I mean, not only does the show die, but then, you know, you stick out like a sore thumb as being the kind of weakest link in a chain, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Nobody kind of wants
horror
that.
Horror of horrors.
Yeah.
But you also did some musical appearances as well, right? Wizard of Oz. What else?
Producers.
Sinbad and all.
Yeah. Musicals are something like, musicals were something that for a while when I first started acting, I was like, what's this jazz hands looking stuff? I'll never do it.
And then
I got exposed to watching and understanding and learning up more and reading up on musicals and like, oh wow, that's a whole different world. Mm. But like, yeah, I have some trepidation towards doing musicals simply because you know how well trained like professional musical theater artists are in terms of their singing, in terms of their dancing, their ability to pick up choreography. And you're like, oh, I want to do all those things, but I need to equip myself with all these tools.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember I was very young and I was going for an audition to get into university to take part in acting at the University of Manchester. And the first session was like, okay, give us your lines, show us whatever. And then they called me back and they're like, right, we'd like you to sing. And I'm like,
sing then?
I did. But I, like you say, Alfred, I'd not really prepared and didn't expect this to be part of the callback, you know? I was like, I don't have a song prepared. And I'm not the world's greatest singer at all, you know, and kind of compounded with the pressure of it being a callback. Absolutely flunked. That was a big problem. But, you know, words on preparation, I think, is a really, really important thing.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Okay, we've got to take a short break. Before we do that, a quick reminder about the giveaway. What is it, Adeline?
Well, we're giving stuff on air tonight. Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us what you deserve to win as well. And if you have any questions for Alfred, myself, or Richard, you can actually tweet us at BFM Radio or BFM TTON.
Right, we'll be back after the break, of course, with news from page 2 and then Smarty Pants. Do not go anywhere, folks. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chung.
This is
Alfred Lowe.
He's going to be with us all the way through until 9 p.m. this evening. We've talked about rehearsing. We've talked about preparation. Now we're going to talk about this little thing that we like to call news from page 2. And it sounds a little bit like this.
Shouting.
You know those lovely people who find injured animals and they take them to the RSPCA or whatever it is, an SPCA here. I was one of those kids, right? I would find wild birds at the side of the road and they'd probably been hit by a car or a truck or something like that. And I'd pick them up and I'd say to my dad, Dad, what do we do with this? Mm. And he'd say, in his head is like not an awful lot. But what I wanted in my heart of hearts was to take this poor animal to the vets and get it fixed and, you know, and for like some kind of wild bird.
But do you actually do that?
Sometimes, you know, I mean, it would probably cost about £40 to get a wild bird's wing fixed and all that kind of stuff. And so eventually my dad was like, you know, maybe you can't save everything. maybe you should just, you know, let nature take its course kind of thing. But I read this story today and it kind of piqued my interest because it's about a man who he thought he'd found a dead cat. And this is in Guernsey, one of the islands off the coast of the UK. And so what he did is he took it to GSPCA, which is the Guernsey Society. Anyway, so he took this, what looked like a very wet, muddy, insect-covered, cold, collapsed, small dog with an injured nose to the vets, right? And he thought, well, this thing's, you know, it's had it. What do I do about it? So he goes in and he kind of rings the bell, and you know the nice little receptionist lady comes across and she's like, right, what have you brought for us then? You know, because this is one of these guys that takes things in regularly.
Yeah.
Turns out it was a puppet.
You're joking?
He'd found a puppet at the side of the beach and had thought, you know, he's doing the right thing, and he took it in.
A puppet?
A puppet, yeah. But this is not the first time that this has happened in Guernsey. They've had things where they were called to go and check on a sick seal that had supposedly landed on the shore, and it actually turned out to be a duvet. Mm. They thought that some guy had called and said, look, there's a stray pug dog at the side of the road. It was actually a frog. I'm not joking.
It's the eyes.
Right,
it's
it must be the eyes, yeah. There was a wig, which somebody thought was an injured bird. A hedgehog was rescued, which in fact was a pine cone. A dead seagull was hanging from a fence. It was actually a carrier bag. And an injured crow was actually one of those big black bags that you have, you know, for your rubbish.
Well, I mean, it sounds a little bit similar, though.
Right.
I know, I think in Malaysia, they actually found a blow-up doll.
That was Indonesia. Right.
Oh, it was in Indonesia. Indonesia. Yes, they found a blow-up doll.
They did, like, yeah.
Whoa,
yeah,
dude.
That was one of those stories you kind of read and go, I really want to talk about this,
yeah.
But I think maybe if I did, I'd get in trouble to talk about it, right? It was one of those kind of in-depth stories you want to talk about. But this kind of, you know, renewed my faith in humanity, you know, is, okay, you know, we're a little bit sentimental. Mm-hmm. I mean, we want to kind of help animals out, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, maybe just prod it a couple of times first before you decide to take it to a vet, perhaps.
Yes.
I don't know. Right, Alfred, right. What have you got for us?
All right, okay, my story, as under-rehearsed as it is a story that I heard on a football blog, so in line with the Euros and football fever. I chuckled the first time I heard this story, so I wanted to share it. So when you watch football on TV, especially Spanish and recently Saudi Arabian or Arabian commentators, whenever someone scores a goal, you always get that goal, like for 2 years,
right.
And 2 years later, goal. So the tradition of that is not so much exuberance, but back in the day, football commentators were all commenting on radio and not so much television. And especially in Spain, the football commentator box would be the last box all the way up there. So the reason why the commentator would do that is because he's got this little kid, like a ball boy or something, by the side of the pitch. So he would be like, someone scored a goal, he could see the goal, he could see the ball go in, and he'd be like, goal! And this little kid would bolt up for dear life up the stairs to run up and tell him who scored and what shirt number. So in the meantime, the commentator has to go like, goal! La, 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 la. And this kid comes up, goal! La, 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 la. Number 9, Hernandez. Goal! La, 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 Hernandez! Hernandez, number 9! Hernandez, goal! Yeah. So that
brilliant.
I chortle imagining that little kid running off for dear life. Oh my god, I gotta tell him it's number 9, it's number 9.
Yeah. That's a brilliant little fact. Yeah. I love the idea behind that. Yeah. I mean, it kind of gets you thinking about, you know, these people that have like extra long double barreled names as well. So yeah, it's okay.
Juan Pablo Marquito Hernandez.
Good stuff. Right. Eddie, what do you have?
My story is about, a robber tried to, attempted to actually rob during his job interview.
Wait. Go on.
Yes, for real.
Was he interviewing to be a robber?
No, the thing
he
is...
He thought he was a McBurglar. Was that it? It was McDonald's, clearly.
Well, he's from Kentucky.
Okay.
No, Kentucky joke right here.
Here we
go. So he attempted to rob a local Chuck E. Cheese while participating in a job interview. Now, the man actually went into a Lexington location to get a job application at 2 p.m., okay?
Uh-huh.
It's at 2 p.m., yeah.
Uh-huh.
He came back at 4 p.m. to rob the,
wow.
the place.
Maybe his interview wasn't successful.
Yeah,
then,
because,
right?
Because the company didn't allow him to take care of the safe.
You know, this is a manager who's pretty clued in. This guy comes in for an interview, and this manager's like, "Yeah, we're not going to hire you. Maybe we don't want to hire you." Everything paid out, right?
Yeah,
it makes sense.
That's the thing.
Uh huh.
Well, yeah, he's quite.
They've arrested him already, I assume.
Oh well, he ran away.
Right.
Yeah, trying to track him down now. Right. So he's still not found.
The Chuck E. Cheese burglar.
Mm-hmm.
Right then, Alfred.
Woo.
You know what time it is, right?
I'm jittering.
But before we get to Smarty Pants, it's a quick reminder, 016-201-9000. If you want to take part in our giveaway, listen out for the question. We'll let you know all the other details in between. In the meantime, we've got a thing that sounds like this.
Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants.
Alfred Lowe.
I want to add my voice to that. I want to do some.
You do?
Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants.
Right.
Smarty Pants.
At the end of the show, we'll get you to record some.
Yes.
Now then, so you have 3 minutes to answer as many general knowledge questions as you can. If you don't know the answer, please say skip and we move right along.
Already do.
Alrighty, here we go. Your 3 minutes start now. Which British singer released albums called 19 and 21? Was it Adele?
Adele.
Which shark eats plankton? The Bahamas saw shark or the basking shark?
Basking.
In which country was the 1990 FIFA World Cup held? Germany or Italy?
Italia.
Chlorophobia is the fear of what? Chloroform or clowns?
Clowns.
How many divisions are there in the state of Sarawak? 9 or 12?
Oh, God. 9.
Oh, other one. In 2008, Sarah Stevenson became Britain's first Olympic medalist in which martial art? Kendo or Taekwondo?
Taekwondo.
What is the title of the first-person shooter science fiction video game released by ID Software in 1993? Was it Doom or Aliens?
Doom.
Correct. Which musical instrument does Kermit the Frog play? Is it a guitar or a banjo?
Banjo.
Baby Bop from the children's series Barney and Friends is a dinosaur of which color? Is it yellow or green?
Baby Bop is yellow triceratops.
No? He's green. Rialto, Scalzi, and Constitution are all bridges in which European city? Venice or Verona?
Verona.
Venice. Mount Santabong is found in which East Malaysian state? Is it Sarawak or Sabah?
Sarawak.
The two small pieces of dark meat at the back of poultry near the thighs are commonly known by which name? Gizzards or oysters?
Gizzards.
Oysters.
What?
Spa is a resort town in which European country? Is it Belgium or Belarus?
Belarus.
Belgium. Which country does the language Latin originate from? Italy or Spain?
Italy.
On men, 5 o'clock shadow is another name for what? Face stubble or a mustache?
Face stubble.
A sevruga is what type of creature? Is it a fish or a bird?
Yeah, fish.
Malia and Natasha are the daughters of which US president? Barack Obama or George W. Bush?
Barack Obama.
The Naga viper is what type of foodstuff? Is it a chili pepper or an eggplant?
Chili pepper.
The Flintstones, Jetsons, and Scooby-Doo are all created by
Hanna-Barbera.
There you go. Solitaire, the game, the card game, traces its origins from which country? England or Scandinavia?
Scandinavia.
The nymph Daphne became a laurel tree escaping which Greek god? Zeus or Apollo?
Apollo.
What does an anemometer measure? Is it wind speed or wave amplitude?
Wave amplitude.
Wind speed. Aye. What is the name of the love interest of the Jane Eyre from the classic Jane Eyre? Mr. Brocklehurst or Rochester?
Brocklehurst?
Rochester. Named after his 8-year-old child, Dave Thomas founded which chain of U.S. restaurants in 1969? Carl's Jr. or Wendy's?
Wendy's.
Shazam is an application known for which function?
Recognizing music.
Correct. How many rows of aliens are there usually at the start of Space Invaders? 6 or 5?
6.
I'll give you one more question. General's chess or shogi is the traditional game of which country? South Korea or Japan?
Japan.
Correct. We are almost out of time. We're going to take a very short break. We'll find out how well Alfred did after these messages. Please do not go anywhere. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Drew.
Here we have
Alfred Lowe.
Fresh from his attack on Smarty Pants. We'll find out how well he did in just a couple of minutes. Before we get to that, we have a giveaway. 016-201-9000. Answer the question. The details will be given. Don't forget to include your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, Alfred. Let's go through some of the questions you got wrong first to find out how well you did and whether or not you are competitive with Janet Leigh.
No.
Just to let you guys know,
I'm trying to bring
Janet,
my blood
Janet's
pressure
got 26, right?
26.
So
no pressure.
Okay.
No pressure.
So the first question: how many divisions are there in the state of Sarawak? It's 12.
I'm sorry, East Malaysian friends.
Baby Bob from the children's series Barney and Friends is a dinosaur of which color? Is green. Rialto, Scalzi, and Constitution are all bridges in which European city? Is Venice. Aww. The two small pieces of dark meat at the back of poultry near the thigh are commonly known by what name? Is oysters.
Uh-huh.
And finally, Spa is a resort town in which European country? Is Belgium. Ladies and gentlemen, Alfred Lowe Scott, 19 points!
No!
Okay, you lost to Janet.
Oh, well. 19 is not a bad score, my friend.
Yeah.
It's not a bad score at all.
And you answered 27 questions.
So what? That's a B at least, right? It's a B.
It's a B. Oh,
we'll put it like
I'll take it.
Now then, Alfred, tell me a little bit about Antigone before we depart.
Ooh, okay. Antigone. Oh, my God. I don't have all the information at my fingertips, but...
21st to 31st of July.
21st to 31st of July.
I know you're acting together with Claudia as well.
Yes. Yes. It's good fun because it's kind of all the people that have worked with Kelvin Wong before. Kelvin Wong is the director,
yeah.
And he's also kind of like the head honcho at Theatre Sauce. And he's a graduate. He's back from New York. He's starting up his new theatre company. And I think Antigone will be the kind of like showcase to show like what his style will be now or what he's aiming towards. And it's good fun. The rehearsals are going along very swimmingly. And
right.
Yeah.
Where's the performance at?
It's at Indie Cine in KL Pack, so it's a relatively small space, but it's going to be like...
Right. Excellent stuff. It's almost time for us to wrap up, of course, but before we do that, we have some silly facts we'd like to share. Well, silly and, interesting, I think.
I go first.
Okay, she goes first. Now, wait. Alfred, do you have a fact for us?
I'll think of one now.
Okay. Anyway.
Did you know, in the Amazon, butterflies will drink the tears of turtles to provide necessary sodium in their diet?
No way.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Okay, Arthur Guinness, the man behind the brewery, he had 21 children with one wife. Busy woman, that one. Busy woman, right? Right.
Okay.
That's something to write home about.
Do you have one?
Do I have a
what, child or fact?
Fact.
No, I can't think of one right now.
That's all right.
It's all right.
Okay,
it's all right.
Alfred, thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Good luck with the performance.
Come watch.
Absolutely. If you have some tickets you want to give away nearer the time, send them to us. We'll get some beer on it. We'll help out with that.
Right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to That Time of Night. I've been Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
This has been
Alfred Lowe.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, all.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.